Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We are hoping to have on with us today a guest who has been wanting to come on the show to tell his story. And because of the complicated issues, we will just call him Jamie. Jamie is serving a sentence for aiding and abetting. He was once gang affiliated, but has worked throughout the incarceration to turn his life around. He is now a pastor and has worked hard to get his bachelor's degree. What's interesting about this case is that the very judge that sentenced him now supports his release. She said justice was not served in Jamie's case. He is now wanting to get his story out. He's earned a bachelor's of art in interdisciplinary studies with concentrations in criminal justice and legal studies from Adams State University. He is currently pursuing an MBA in leadership from Adams and a Master's of Divinity from the Chicago Theological Seminary. Again, because of his situation and because of the sudden lockdowns that they have, that he was unsure if he would be able to make it. He was going to try to make it. He said maybe coming on later than earlier, whatever the situation may be. But while we are waiting to find out if he is able to call in, let's talk about life sentences. They should only be in extreme cases, as is with all other countries. In this country, we have people getting life sentences every single day now. We have such mass incarceration in the United States that should not be. We've encouraged everyone to contact the United Nations to talk about these issues, to find out why this has been going on for so many years and nothing's been done about it. It's so easy to resolve issues by just throwing people in prison and throwing away the key. But there are so many more things happening, so much crime happening in the streets where the people have been alleged to, and it's been confirmed that they have had mental illnesses. Mental illnesses, and all of these things are happening in the streets. And what they're doing is putting them in prison regardless of the serious needs. Watching the news the other day, when they were talking about patients and the nurses not being able to handle these patients because some of them are violent. Why is it that the Department of Mental Health and the hospitals and doctors and the legislative members are not all working together to find a resolution other than incarceration to treat these individuals? We live in a country where the mental illnesses and addictions are so many. It's not that they're rare, it's many. Many people in this country have psychological issues. Right up to the White House, right up to these parties that are arguing back and forth between themselves like kids instead of getting the work done that needs to be done in this country. It's going to be soon before these prisons are so maxed out that these people in the communities, there's going to be more behind the prison walls than there are in the communities, in your own homes. Something needs to be done. Something most definitely needs to be done about all of this. And until we come together in unity to try to resolve these issues on our own, because apparently our leadership is not working. Two parties going back and forth like children, when there are so many major issues that need to be addressed in this country. There was a time years ago when there was bipartisanship. We don't see that anymore. We do not see bipartisanship. What we see is bickering going back and forth, people becoming very violent in politics, like the Capitol and all other places, the streets. If we don't have it our way, we're going to threaten them or scare them into doing what we want them to do. That's what it seems like what's happening in our government today. Our political candidates, if we don't have it our way, we'll scare them into giving it to us. We'll scare them into doing it my way or no way. What happened to the American people that is so many times mentioned as being the reason that they're doing this for the American people? The American people are tired of this game. They're tired of this soap opera. They're seeking reality now. We have too many in politics that at one time have been in entertainment, and many followers who are getting so much entertainment out of this conflict. We have an economic problem in this country, heading for inflation. We have hatred in this country, hatred for people that are less fortunate, hatred for people who have a different skin pigmentation, hatred for people who are of a different gender, hatred for people that are a different religion, simply hatred and vengeance and retaliation. How many are there out in the communities who have actually caused others to go to prison because of their game plan, because of their head games, because of their own self-motivation, because of their own narcissistic attitudes and ways? The prisons are full of good people who were misled by people that are still walking free in the communities with that kind of hatred, vengeance, retaliation, anger, frustration. We are up against good and evil spirits within the people. Life sentences should not exist unless, as I say, in extreme cases. And if you check in with other countries, you will find that they only serve or have life without parole and life sentences for people in extreme cases such as terrorists, which we have in this country right now, believe it or not, domestic terrorism, which has not come to its full force yet. But the longer this plays out, the more planning is going to be done by our enemies of this country. And that is those who have actually did and have considered probably doing again what was done at the Capitol. We have people in prison who should have been released years ago. And we have people in prison who should not have been in prison at all, wrongfully convicted. In contacting the United Nations, people have been instructed to contact the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights at phone number 212-963-5931. Or they can email New York at ohchr.org. And let them know about the mass incarceration, because that is a human rights violation when it is used for prison profiting, as with many organizations or corporations, I should say, who are benefiting off the blood, sweat, and tears, the hard labor of incarcerated individuals who are making less than a dollar a day. Mass incarceration is a human rights violation when used for the purpose of profits for prisons, modern-day slavery, and when there is an incarcerated population of men, women, and youth being violated and abused. And we all know what happened in the Lowell prison for females in Florida, with all of them being violated by the male guards. And what are male guards doing in female prisons? And what are female guards doing in male prisons? And we have to look at a lot of these people that are in prison that perhaps are troublemakers. It doesn't mean we have to stereotype. But what happens when those troublemakers in the prisons cause a riot or cause a fight They're not the only ones that suffer. It's also the innocent that is ongoing, looking at these fights, or even in their cells, that come out only to be punished along with those who are troublemakers. It isn't fair to these incarcerated individuals to have to pay the price of those in prison who are causing disruption, who are not trying. It's very difficult for those who are trying and those who are not doing anything but trying to serve their time, get their programs, educational and work programs. And many should have the opportunity to be single cells, because we all know not all prisoners are clean. We all know double-selling prisoners may not be the best thing. When you have meticulous, articulate, incarcerated individuals having to share cells with someone that never takes showers or is very unclean. We have people in prison who are complaining about the food, which has also caused many fights between prisoners and staff. Also, staff members who have been provocative to the incarcerated individuals. And when those individuals complain, nothing is done. They're told they have to deal with it, which is what happened in 2020, January 10th, 2020. A riot broke out at one of the prisons in Massachusetts. The prisoners had asked that they remove a certain guard because that guard was a problem. And they were told that no guard was going to be moved. They were going to have to deal with it. Donna Wynette, the founder of Families, Friends, and Individuals for the Mentally Ill, has spoken so many times on DMH and how they should be involved, which they should be. I encourage everyone to contact the Department of Mental Health and ask them why they don't get involved with the incarcerated individuals and their psychological issues. There are many people in prison who were victims of severe trauma when they were children or adolescents. Those things were never addressed. And when these things are not addressed and it's held internally for many, many years, it's not resolved. The anger builds up inside, frustration, the pain of not having any solution, not having anyone to listen, having a voice. Which is another reason why we have to continue to contact the media. I don't care what media outlets, just keep contacting them and finding out why they don't go into these prisons and hear these prisoners. Hear them. Let them have a voice that they've never had. Let them have a voice that they have been withholding so much pain and for so many years. The media needs to go in and give these people a voice. It's like caging a dog, caging animals, and not letting them out. And when they finally do let them out, these animals have turned so vicious. This should not be happening when we listen to and when we speak of the Department of Corrections. That's not how you correct an animal, nor is it how you correct a human being. By shutting them down so they don't have a voice, by bringing in inappropriate medical providers, contracted medical providers. And we have in this country WellPath in many, many prisons around the country. That is the Department of Corrections contracted medical provider. And those medical providers are all over the internet that's having lawsuits filed against them because of all the permanent damage and death that they have caused other individuals incarcerated. We need to look at some of these things. We have a caller, 314. Please state your name.
My name is Mr. Pianki. I got a question to you. what you were elaborating on. Should not the media do the same to the victim?
The media does the same for the victim. The media does for the victim, and the media does for the families of the victim.
Well, I never have seen that except on the incidents where the media comes out to a crime scene. But
no.
You never hear any. I never heard from. And I'm talking about me. Other people may have. But I never have heard any follow-up stories on the affected lives of the victim.
You know, I'll tell you about a follow-up story because, again, as I say, there's many people in prison because they were victims turned offenders. They didn't get the justice as victims. And so they did something on their own and ended up in prison. Victims have the opportunity because they have people in the media that will go to them, and I know this for a fact, that will go to them to get their story. Many people who have been victimized are hurting so badly that they're trying to, once they have received that justice of their offender, their perpetrator, going to prison, a lot of them want to move on and forget what happened to them. There's a lot of them in prison who were victims before becoming offenders. And now that they're in prison, they're ready to open up, but there's no one to listen to them because now they're no longer victims. They are offenders. So we have to look at these because a lot of people don't look at both sides. They don't look at the angles of which these people have gone through. And I'm sure you yourself have at some point in time been a victim or been hurt to the point where you have still maybe have some of that pain inside of you if you haven't spoken about it. And that's why I encourage people to talk, not to be afraid to open up, because it can build up so much that when it does come out, it comes out in a very inappropriate or sad way.
Well, you know, you look at these incidents. For instance, like George Floyd. George Floyd had a horrendous criminal record before he met his death, which people say was karma, the sowing mm-hmm. of the seed.
No.
So but now he's not remembered by the criminality that he expressed. He's remembered by what happened to him and praise. Statues are built for him and movements under his name. I think that's
you know,
a disservice to those who he victimized.
No, not a disservice to those he victimized, because what he went through, it was not karma. What he went through is dealings with evil people, evil spirits, and the people that did what they did to him. We look up to, at one time, we used to look up to law enforcement. We were taught to look up to law enforcement, as we are with our school teachers and our mailman and our, you know, post office, all these things. But when we look up to law enforcement, who are human beings just like we are, and there are criminals in uniform, just as we have seen, that can go and take a man and put their knee on his neck until he is dead. He did worse, I'm sure, than what George Floyd or any other person that has been victimized in the streets by the police officers. There was no reason for that police officer to do what he did, and no reason for anybody to have suffered the way he suffered. And as I say all the time, and I don't know if you're a biblical person, if you're a Christian, but you have to remember the one that people worship in the churches today, the Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul, killed many people. Moses, he killed the Egyptian. And King David killed his own loyal soldier so that he could have that lie remain that he impregnated the man's wife. So when we look at the people that are seeing, the people in the street, even us, when we look at those people who are overseeing and we see the barbaric treatment that they have done, we can't look at somebody like George Floyd who paid his dues when he died on that ground with that man's knee in his neck. People
well, actually, that procedure, Actually, that procedure was approved by the apartment that he worked for. And I've seen cases where you've had that implemented to white suspects, and unfortunately they died too. The procedure was approved. But, you know, you have to also look at the people that was around taunting the police officer, probably giving gestures like they was going to charge him and distracted what he was doing, not trying to take up. But the reality is the reality. If you're being distracted while you're trying to do something, that which you're trying to do is going to either be in error. So the thing is this, is that when people go out and create crime against others, like the gentleman, like the man that was killed in the subway there in New York, he had 42 previous crimes against people, even one where he slung a woman into a moving car. He should not have been on the street. And then you got society today that wants to disarm citizens, whereas they can't protect themselves from those who act out, like we have seen in many cases in video and social media. All police officers are not bad.
I know. I have police officer in my family, but I'm going to say one thing. When you think about it, what you're saying is true. I mean, there's people out there committing crimes. But at the same time, again, we have, look at the young man that was killed by the police for selling cigarettes outside a store. I mean, what harm was that to die the way he did? And as far as you're talking about the white man also having their knees on their neck, I have not heard about it. If somebody, and I like transparency, so if somebody can bring up examples with names, then I can understand that. But there are so many people with law enforcement years ago, if you remember, years ago the police didn't have to kill anybody. They were able to bring people in. They were trained how to shoot. You don't need to shoot someone in the head or the heart. You can shoot someone in the leg or the hand. If they're carrying a knife, shoot them in the hand. But there's too many people now in law enforcement that are using their titles and their uniforms to do anything they want. And at one time, they were getting away with it. And even now, many are getting away with it. But it's becoming more prevalent now because we're seeing too many of these things happening, not only with the blacks or the browns or the red or the beige, but also the whites. Even a lot of white people are afraid of law enforcement today, because of the mentality that they have. And as far as gun control, they're not saying people cannot buy guns. What they're trying to do is gun reform. And the way I look at it, all they need to do is to do a psychological evaluation and drug testing on anyone that applies for a permit to carry, because that would save a lot of people from committing crimes, because they would find out. And this is another thing I can guarantee from experience. If they did psychological evaluation, they can determine if somebody is severely depressed and on the verge of doing a homicide or suicide. They can determine whether that person should have a weapon or a permit.
Well, should that person work?
No. If the person has a serious issue, that person could work, but that person should also be in a treatment facility.
I don't think so. You can't let them have certain jobs. They can't work construction equipment where they're horsing loads over and swinging over people on the ground if they got
a condition like you're describing. I would hope that they wouldn't carry their weapons up on a ledge or during their work time.
But you're saying that they got a mental condition that they could not have a gun. They got a mental condition where they're operating equipment that's just as lethal. They shouldn't be able to have that job.
If they have a psychological or psychiatric evaluation and it's determined that they have some psychological issues, if they're serious enough, they need to put them on hold. I'm sorry, but they would have to put them in a facility to get the treatment and then put them back to work. This is where funding should be put out there for the less fortunate. People complain about a lot of these people on welfare and in the streets that are getting free money. They can get their money free, but they can also do some volunteer work to make up for it.
You talk about the police shooting people in the arm. Why come the criminal don't shoot people in the leg rather than kill them? Why come the criminal don't shoot them in the finger rather than kill them? And if the police try to hit somebody in the hand, hang on, and they miss and they go hit somebody else, then who's going to be liable for that? No, that's why they shoot center man.
No, the thing is, people that are shooting people to kill or to do serious harm have some kind of problem. You know, even they talk about gang members. And I'm going to go back to this because I don't know if people even get it. A lot of times these young kids that are growing up without fathers or without any support, that are growing up in drug-infested homes or domestic violence, these kids that are out in the streets not knowing which way to turn, whatever happened to all the role models that used to be out there years ago? Whatever happened to the adult role models? We're living in a country right now that's so divided, they're so aggressive, that these kids are having problems while we as adults are expecting something better to come of these kids when we ourselves as adults don't have it together. And we have...
Well, that's why that's
go
the
ahead.
Value of the family. You got people out here that when they come into it, they have no respect for authority. They don't have respect for authority at home. They don't have it when they go to school. And we see many, many videos of incidents that's going on in classrooms and school. And then they don't have any respect for authority when they meet authority in the street, in the case of police officers. Now, any sane person is working that job, which is needed. And if they experience that time and time and time and time and time again, then they're going to develop an attitude toward people that they meet, especially if they start showing a regretment of being put in this confinement. If a police officer, every stop, what are you stopping me for? You ain't got da-da-da-da-da. Well, why come people can't act like they're civilized? Why? I wouldn't want the job. Every time you try to help somebody or you try to perform your job, they are acting uncivilized.
You know, there was a situation in Rhode Island years ago, and it was a father and son, both police officers. But one night, the son was off duty, and he was coming out of a convenience store, and he was attacked and shot down and killed by his fellow police officers at night. The father, so gung-ho, being a police officer, and too afraid to speak out on behalf of his son, said very little to nothing when the mother of that young man came forward to the media, and she was furious to have her son killed. This is the problem with people today. They don't understand. Sometimes because the prisons, we have 2.3 million people incarcerated, many wrongfully convicted, many first-time offenders, many victims before becoming offenders. And these are people that are all being thrown in prison, like with life without parole, some in some states, the death penalty. And they don't even care about these people because these big corporations are making all kinds of money from this modern-day slavery. We're looking for leadership in this country. And what they could possibly do is do a project, a pilot project, with some of these people that have been incarcerated for years and put them in a separate prison and start working with them towards release at some point in time, because these people have been in for 40 and 50 years, going in when they were youths, when they were teenagers. We don't have the role models today, and we can argue back and forth for the rest of our lives talking about these kids in the street and these people that are out there killing. Of course, crime is on the rise again, if you notice. And it's because what's working in the past has not worked at all. And we have a government leadership that is so back and forth at one another's throats that they're not even looking at their own country. They keep using the American people as their excuse to justify the dirt that they're doing with one another. We've got kids today we have people in prison that are in their 80s, that are in wheelchairs, dementia, Alzheimer's. They went in when they were youth, when they were 19, 20, 21 years of age.
Yeah, but if they're in that condition, what are they going to do out in the public? They would have to be put in an institution similar to what they are in the prison. It's one institution is another institution.
No, it's a little different.
But the thing is this. You say that people, you don't want to kill people, so you got states that put them in prison for life. If you kill a person, they dead for life. So they have to be confined and kept away from the common population, whereas they can't further harm the common population. Just like the man there. And, you know, what is the face of crime in the United States today? It's the black male from 15 to 34 years of age. Per 100,000, they commit like 219 crimes per 100,000. The white male only commit 8. The black female commit 16.
You know, this is what we forget, and I'm going to bring this up because apparently some people don't have it all the facts. There's a lot of people in the streets of the Caucasian race of wealth who get away with it. People don't understand because these are coming from elite homes, from wealthy homes, or from loved ones that are in politics. You know, they're getting away with it. So naturally, you're not going to hear of every situation of incarcerated individuals, for one thing. For another thing, and even with races, if you notice, there was a time when you go on inmate locator to look up an inmate of color or any color, and you're going to find those who are of color are going to be listed as unknown races. It's easy to know if somebody's Hispanic or somebody's black or somebody's beige or somebody's red. It's easy to determine whether they are Indian, Hispanic, black, or say Arab and black. It's easy to determine. So they leave that out because when the census are taken, people are not getting accurate counts of those incarcerated. And there's so much that's being left out of our mind that's not being told to us. There's so much injustice going on, so many lies going on. And if people only knew the truth, and that's why Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, brings on people to talk about the truth and to try to work out resolutions to some other alternative than mass incarceration in prison for life and life without and on death row. It has to stop. You know, think about it. If it was a relative of yours, and I'll tell you, as a black man yourself, and I know you're of color, either Indian, black, or Arab, but as a person yourself, you must have known and you must have seen and heard of so many people being killed unnecessarily, whether they're victims killed by other people or whether they're victims killed by law enforcement or prison officials or prison guards. We can't look at everybody as being separated because of uniforms and titles. We have to look at the injustice that's being done, regardless of who's doing it.
Well, I tell you, it's an injustice when you try to prevent people from protecting themselves. Person got a right to protect themselves from harm and from threats. They have a right to. And as far as the other, no, it is the black male between those age groups that are committing some horrendous crimes. I know an area in St. Louis area. North St. Louis County. There is no whites there. If you see a white person and you capture them, you would have a specimen. These are young blacks, males, no gang member. I mean, you're just committing crimes. And it's just a shame. It's so bad that people, blacks, run from it themselves. It's not all blacks. They blend in with that crowd and they predate those, that crowd become predators. They prey on those crowds.
I'm going to bring up an example. Tomorrow is the 15th. Tomorrow I'm going to be at 5:30 your time, 6:30 Eastern time. I'm going to be interviewing Judy Pickens. She was a wrongfully convicted female in Missouri. Also, Bertha Owens. She was a wrongfully convicted individual in Missouri. Christopher Dunn, a wrongfully convicted young man who went in when he was young, very young, and is in his 40s now. And you can find Christopher Dunn on the internet where a judge dismissed his case years ago. And this young man is still serving time in prison for a crime he did not commit.
Oh, yeah, that does happen. You know what makes it so bad? It's when you have, and I'm going to have to use it this way, when you have a black person that dress up in a white T-shirt, some tennis shoes, Jordans, and so on, and they wear their hair a certain way. Well, any other person that's out there that's in that same fashion and style, they would have a chance of being misidentified and blamed with their crime. I mean, it's a fact. I knew Eleanor Reasonor in St. Louis. She was one vote from being put to death for something that she didn't do, because there was so much of it going on in St. Louis area, robbing a service station, gasoline station, that, you know, she got caught up into. It's a shame. It's a tragic.
You know, the self, believe it or not, the self is so different. Well, it's not anymore, but there was a time when the self was so different than the north. And unfortunately, a lot of people were targeted more so, I believe, back then down in those states. And racism still exists in the south, but what's happened is now it's actually broadened out to
but
the
you know
country.
What you got black racists, you got blacks who are racist too.
Exactly. We're dealing with
but
people.
You know, I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell you where the government is going wrong. The government should try to rehabilitate all the prisoners that it had before you start bringing in illegals from other parts of the world. Those prisoners are American citizens, and they should be allowed to be given the chance to rehabilitate themselves and come out into society and contribute to society. They should be taught jobs and taught skills where you don't have to bring in illegals in the country who are breaking the law, and you just further complicating things.
Yeah, I agree in a way. I will say one thing, though. We're talking about, even with the immigrants, we're talking about the Americas, you know, South America, North America, Central America. You know, the way they need to put borders or prevent those coming in from across the sea, across the ocean, because they seem to be able to get in a lot easier. But these people that are coming over on the border, we're working on a case now where this individual is from Central America. He came to this country with his family when he was 3 years old. The family's been here almost 40 years. This individual ended up going to prison 14 years ago. He got a 15-year sentence for killing his perpetrator, a family friend who had been violating him since he was a child to into his early teenage years, and he killed that individual. If it was any other reason, he would have gotten a life sentence, but he got 15 years. Now, he's going up for a hearing in July, and the hearing is to determine his deportation. He has no knowledge of any family in Central America, the country in Central America that they came from. So he's going to be, if he gets deported, he's going to be deported to a country he's not familiar with, while his family are residing in Massachusetts, in Boston, as a matter of fact. And this is going to be devastating because he's already been traumatized. Now, somebody from the Boston Globe did a write-up on his story back then when he first went in. And the person now is with the New York Times, and she wants to do a story on him now because they feel that his situation should not warrant them to have to deport him back to Central America because of what he did. Now, with others that you're talking about, yes, there's a lot of people coming over from the border, maybe bringing in drugs, but we also have to look at the people in this country, including those overseeing that are also bringing in drugs or getting them to bring in drugs. We have to look at the prisons across the country where they talk about the families and friends of the incarcerated bringing in drugs. When you can go on the internet and you can type in guards caught smuggling drugs into prison, you're going to find all kinds of issues with the drugs coming in.
Yeah, but
we
know, you know, that's illegal. But a person coming into the country the illegal way are illegal. They shouldn't be in the country. They shouldn't be working. And if they do work, their assets should be seized because they acquired those assets by doing something illegal, just as if it was a drug dealer who made money and bought houses and cars. They are seized because they acquired that while committing an illegal crime. So, no, I disagree with that. They have to go. See, our Constitution applies to United States citizens, not people from Central America nor South America. Their jurisdiction is where they come from.
I look at this. The United States was built on representatives from every single country in the world. We are the representatives of our own background, our own roots. And all roots, first of all roots start in the continent of Africa. All DNA comes from Africa. So everybody in this whole world has some African in them, which a lot of them don't want to admit because of expanding out and also now becoming some kind of country citizenship. We shouldn't have to look at anybody in a citizenship way, and we shouldn't have to be determining why these people can't come in when we should be allowing them to come in if they come in the right way. But those who have been here since the age of 3 and now in their 40s or 50s, they should have that right to be able to stay in this country if they have not done anything to this country. Look at what happened with the Capitol. Prisoners' rights have been, their voting rights have been taken from them, and they have done nothing to their country. But yet we had this insurrection at the Capitol January 6th, and those people never lost their rights to vote. So what is it all about? It's inequality in America. I interview people from other countries. I'll be interviewing the warden again. His name is Franz Dahl. He was a 27-year warden in Amsterdam who's been in the U.S. prison. He's toured the U.S. prisons in Massachusetts and New York. He's working with advocates to this day in Texas. He's coming back on in July, every Wednesday for the entire month of July to talk about different issues. But he himself sees the difference between the prisons in the United States, the way these people are treated in those prisons, in comparison to the people and the way that they do it in their countries. Marion Jacobs, the same thing. She's been on. She's a psychosocial therapist, but she volunteers in a prison in the Netherlands. She's been in the U.S. prison. She has seen the difference between the prisons in their countries compared to this.
But that's the Netherlands. This is the United States. They run their judicial system how they want to. We run ours how we have come to. That's
now,
just the way it is.
We're not talking about just the Netherlands. We're talking about every prison, every country in the world. Norway, and I'll tell you, people from this country have gone over to Norway. Norway is the role model for all prisons throughout the world. People from this country, including all the way from Washington State, people have gone over to Norway to find out how they are so successful in the way they run their prisons and their success rates. There's no recidivism rates in these countries as there is in the United States. So everything that we're talking
The reason why you use private entities because private business runs things better than government does. Government is plagued with waste. They're plagued with nepotism and with private prisons, with private entities over those operations. They are run more efficient. I can't help it. Norway is Norway. This is the United States.
And the United States is in more violation than any other country when you come right down to it.
Violation of what?
Violation of everything, even the United Nations. You know, being part of the United Nations.
We're under a constitution, man. We're not under no human rights declaration. United States is not signatory to a human rights declaration. And then, again, you couldn't do it because the federal government has no control over what goes on in the states.
That's a different problem. Exactly.
That's the way the country was formed. The federal government gets its powers from the states. The states are controlled by the people.
I want to touch on that, what you just said, because this is very important. That's the problem in this country, inconsistency. Now, the federal, like you say, the federal is in control of federal, and state is statewide, state by state. The problems in this country are all the same. The difference being every state operates differently. Now, Massachusetts is a commonwealth. Pennsylvania is a commonwealth. This is not right because
there's nothing wrong with this. Now, they are individual countries. They are sovereign. They have their own constitution. And they have their own government.
We're not countries now. Africa is countries. That continent is countries. This continent is states. And it's all states in one continent, the United States.
No, let me tell you. Let me read the Constitution.
I want to say something about the Constitution before you go on. The Constitution.
Well, let me finish this about the identification of states. States are countries. They have their own sovereignty. The federal government gets its powers from the states. The states have the ability to tell the federal government to go pound sand. That's the way it works.
And it shouldn't. They should have called
it. Well, the people that formed the country, the founding fathers, when you had those 13 states that signed on and said they wanted to, those 13 countries that signed on and said they wanted to be a part of it, they chose to be a part of it.
Okay, now when you were a child, just tell me this. You were a child at one time. How do you see all the changes that occurred since you were a child until your age today? Have you seen all the changes that occurred in the United States? You've seen a lot.
Changes like what?
I can't believe the changes I've seen since I was a kid. I mean, the areas. Okay, when they talk about, say, I don't know what state you're from, but when you talk about the state you're from and the towns or the cities in your state, I guarantee that at one time those cities or towns were called something different. And I guarantee that there weren't so many individual towns, that a lot of them were consolidated or combined. We've seen changes throughout this country in the people and the way people dress, the way people act. We've seen change in the way the weather is, the environment. The Constitution was written years and years ago. And it's time for change because George Washington is gone, but so much has happened between George Washington and Joe Biden that right now everything is still going on as it was in the
There's
very
a
beginning.
Way to change the Constitution. It's called amendment. You
yes.
have two-thirds. It can be changed either by at the Congress level or it can be changed at the state level. You get two-thirds of the states to agree upon a proposal. Then you have a convention on those proposals. Then you have three-quarters. You have the states that take it back. You have to have three-quarters of the states to agree upon it for it to be an amendment to the United States Constitution. The federal government, the courts, the president has nothing to do with that. They can't stop it or prevent it. If the states decide to have it.
You just said it. What is your first name again? I hate to keep calling you by something.
My name is Pianki. Pianki. P-I-A-N-K-I.
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 Pianki.
There's a way to change. There's a way to amend the Constitution like it has been 27 times, and that was done at the federal level. And it was brought back to the states to ratify.
You just mentioned. Oh, geez, don't tell me I want to forget now what you just said. It's up to the Congress and the state, right? Now,
I said it can be. Article 5 allows two ways to amend the U.S. Constitution. One is through the legislative body of the Congress, and the second way is through the legislative body of the states.
And you just said it, though, the legislative Congress. What's happening right now in our government is the division between the Republicans and the Democrats. So if they can't come together for other things that are important, how are they going to come together to try to come up with a solution or try to come up with changes in the Constitution?
When it comes down to constitutional amendment, is political parties is not involved. It's the people. People.
In Congress.
That's where it goes. When you have a constitutional convention, and I belong to one state's convention, I don't belong to it, but I'm working with it. That's the state of Louisiana. They have three proposals out there. They got term limits, they got fiscal responsibility, and the overreach of the federal government. There's things the federal government is doing now that they should not be doing. They should not be owning land in states unless a state invites them to own land. You cannot mandate to a state. You cannot control a state. You cannot go into a municipality and control their police department. You have no authority to do that. When they talk about police reform, the federal government cannot reform a local police department. That is controlled by the state, not the federal government.
You know, this is the problem we have in this country. People like yourself should be running for political leadership. You should be running because you not only make sense, but you know your constitution, you know your laws. What we're getting is people who have been in entertainment. We're getting at people that have been about nothing, that are getting elected to make things even worse than they could be. And unfortunately, some people don't think that they will make it, or they don't think they're qualified enough, or they don't think something, I don't know. But the wrong people are running, and the right people that should be running are doing nothing.
That's because it's not done the right way. People should come together on an issue or an agenda. They should choose somebody to go to the big house at the state level or even Congress and carry forth their agenda. They should fund them and vote for them. And that's what the person that goes to Congress or goes to the state legislature, that is what it's all about. But it's not. It's backwards. You got people that run. You got people that vote for them. And they sit back and watch and see what happens. You're not supposed to do it that way. When you elect somebody, they can have specific orders on what it is that they're supposed to do. They're supposed to go network with others and try to get it done from where they came from.
Exactly. And I want to say another thing that bothers me is politics. When they speak the language, they're not speaking it to all the American people, because we have a large population of people in America that don't have the education and cannot understand the language of politics. This is sad, because those are the ones that are most likely to listen to others. Others are telling them who to vote for, or others are getting them to vote for whoever, without these people knowing all the facts and knowing the truth about a lot of the stuff that's being said. Now, unfortunately, we have legislative members, we have government officials, leaders that are out there talking way above even our heads sometimes. And I'm saying, how in the world can these people understand what they're saying if even myself, being an educated person, cannot pick up on a lot of the things?
That's because civics are not taught in your schools anymore. Biology is not taught in your schools like it should be. A child should be educated and familiarized with the founding documents of this country, with the wars of this country. Those things should be mandatory. American history. Many people of different ethnic groups contribute to it. It's American history. It's not just black. If you want to have black history, that needs to be an elective, but it has to be American history. In some classrooms, you have people from Boston. You have some people, kids from Serbia. You have Somalia. You cannot take out the time to talk about those individual ethnic groups' history. It has to be American history.
But you know what, though? It should be like what they're talking about, taking away the rights to their black history in Florida, you know, banning books and everything. That's ridiculous. And I'll say
another thing. That's not true. He made specific and gave an example of what they shouldn't have. You shouldn't be talking about queers. You shouldn't be talking about homosexuality, not in schools. If you want to do that, do it in your community centers and do it in your church, not in a public school.
And what about the blacks, the black history?
Black history is part of American history. If you want to have some specific talks about something, then that should be an elective, or it should be done in your home or in your schools or your community centers.
You know, I actually believe that what they need to do in this country is, like you say, they need to mind their own business. People should not get involved with, first of all, I'm going to say even with abortions, because we all have to meet our maker at some point in time. It should be between us and our maker. So when people talk about the genders, when they talk about the races, when they talk about the religions, when they get into everybody's business, they're trying to do that so that people will take the focus off of them. And I agree with you that these things should not be discussed. It should not be a concern. Do you know, years ago, people were in the military. They were in the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, you know, and what happens? Now that this whole thing about the GLBTs is coming out, now they're trying to stop these people from going into the military. These people have been going in the military for years and years and years when nobody knew about it. So what's the difference? But getting back to the country.
When you talk about abortion, states have a right to control those activities, whatever the state decides.
You know,
have a right to control when kids start drinking, don't they?
Yeah, but look at what they're trying to do is raise the limit, the age limit, so that lower the age limit so these kids can start drinking legally. Just like marijuana. They finally legalized marijuana in the United States, but there's still people sitting behind those prison walls who got sent to prison for doing marijuana.
Yeah,
if
you smoke marijuana, you cannot teach and you cannot have a pilot certificate if you own marijuana. That's regulating your activity so that you don't harm other people. If you want to harm yourself, go ahead. But you're not going to harm other people.
That's the thing, though. They're legalizing. You know why they're legalizing? I feel a lot of times when the government legalizes something, it's because they have children of their own or they themselves are involved and want to make it legal before they get caught. But if they're going to legalize marijuana, then they need to release these people who went to prison when they were young for marijuana. They need to release them. And I started a petition.
Well, you can't do that because you can't have, your laws cannot be what's called de facto. You can't make a law today and then grandfather it in 100 years ago. You can't do that. The application of the ineffectiveness of that law starts the moment the bill is signed. You can't go back in history.
Well, that's what they're trying to do with abortions. That's what they're trying to do with abortions. These women that are out there, you know, a lot of them are upset, and I don't blame them because it could be their health. It could be the health that the baby may be born dysfunctional or disabled. But the thing is, for years, women have had that right to control their own bodies. And now all of a sudden, they're putting some kind of law in there. It doesn't make sense. And like I said, I'm not going
to. Well, they have to. Well, look at the Obama administration, where they want a 12-year-old to be able to have an abortion without notifying the parents. That's totally wrong.
Well, I think that's wrong, too. The parents should always be aware of everything that's going on with their children under the age of 18. But I haven't heard of that. But it's probably true, and I agree. The parents should know. But as far as a 12-year-old, if it's a situation where the child was raped or whatever, violated in any way, or if there's health issues, I can understand it. But I'm not going to interfere in somebody else's life. And that's what we have a society right now that's getting too involved in other people's lives. And it should be those. We all have to live our lives and look forward to going before our maker and what our consequences will be then. But human beings have no right to decide or to talk about somebody else's life. I don't think it's right.
And they shouldn't have a right to tell me what guns I can own and how I safely and legally use those guns.
Now, the guns, I'll tell you right now, with the guns, I can understand you feeling like you should be able to have your own weapon. Assault weapons, I don't believe in. In the military, maybe, if that's the case, but I don't believe that assault weapons should be sold.
Anything can be an assault weapon. It's how, see, it's not the gun. It's the people that's using the gun. Why should I have to be, why should I be restricted on what I own because of what somebody else did illegally with what they own?
Well, as I said, when I was licensed, it was a situation where they check you out. You know, you have to have a clean record. You have to have no, you know, nothing against you. But they never did psychological or psychiatric evaluations, and I think that's very, very important when
deciding
what
you do. Medical records are not supposed to be made public. Even a felon, after they have served their time, a person in prison come out, they should be allowed to have a weapon to protect themselves, go hunting for sports, or just for keepsake.
No. They did. They. If it's not a violent crime, after 5 years, I believe they're supposed to expunge or seal the records. But as far as allowing people coming right out of prison to have a weapon, no. There's people out there that shouldn't have weapons.
They served their time.
They served their time and they deserve their freedom. But nowadays, very rarely are they coming out to begin with. That's why we have mass incarceration. What they need to do.
So what is the weapon? A knife? They can't even have a knife with a 6-inch blade?
I was watching the news last night where a young man went into a restaurant and killed his girlfriend, stabbing her 58 times. The man was psychologically.
Well, that's that person. It wasn't a knife. The knife can sit at the counter all day. They're going to jump up and. Yeah, I hope it don't. But that's the purpose.
I believe that they need to have evaluations for anyone that intends to buy a weapon or have a license to practice. There should be evaluations.
Suppose the sheriff has a grudge with you and he don't want you to have a license to carry a weapon. You know, only thing that you can license is when they conceal it. When they carry it openly, that's protected by the Constitution.
They're not supposed to carry it openly.
No,
you know,
no, no. The Constitution says you got the right to bear arms.
Look at these children. I don't know if you've been listening to the news on these, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old. These kids are going to school with weapons because their parent is leaving it out. Even though they say leaving it out, that's ridiculous. You have children in your home.
Yeah, it is. A child should not be doing that. You're absolutely right. That's because of the irresponsibility of the parents.
Exactly. But even more ironically is that they were, one of them, the 6-year-old at one time, they were considering bringing charges against the 6-year-old. That shows the kind of government leadership we have, too. So it's dynamics. It's unbelievable. The rules, the regulations, the leadership. Not everybody that becomes a government official is smart or doing the right thing. They too sometimes need psychological evaluations. But there's a difference between, there's good and bad in all politics. There's good and bad in law enforcement. There's good and bad in correctional officers and prison officials. We have a society to protect. And I'm part of that society, and I want to be protected. So we need leadership that's going to come together in all aspects. We need nurses and doctors to come together with the mental health providers. We need to look at these mental health and medical providers in the penal system who have done all kinds of WellPath. I mean, they've had lawsuits. The founder of WellPath is in court or in prison now for corruption and bribery, and yet he... And all of these lawsuits filed against WellPath, and yet these prisoners are still subjected to being treated by people from WellPath in the penal system. There's a lot of things.
I agree with you. When you have things like you described, those need to be given attention. I agree with that.
It's not happening. People in society, they look at law enforcement and correctional officers and prison officials and legislative members, they look at all of them as having, because of their positions, their titles, their uniforms, that they are not to be held accountable. And that's wrong. Because like it says all the time, anyone that commits a crime or anyone that's posing a threat is to be held accountable.
Well, you're right, because the citizen, the municipality, has to bear the ultimate liability when one of their employees go out and commit a grievous act against another citizen. So they have to bear the liability. And liability is usually borne through insurance. They have to have those people insured in order to, in case that they go out and do something beyond the scope of their duties and cause problems in the greater public.
Exactly. There's so much injustice in this country, though.
That's why when you hear people talking about we going to police our own community, that's nothing more than talk. They cannot be insured. If you go out and hurt somebody or they claim that you hurt them, well, you are subjecting yourself to lawsuits.
Oh, look at George, what's his name, Zimmerman? Was that his name, George, or something Zimmerman that killed, was it Tyrone? I can't remember the
he
name.
Killed,
but,
he killed, it was self-defense.
No, he was policing his community. This was somebody.
Well, yeah, but he was attacked.
I think it was the other way around. I think Tyrone was trying to save his own life, and he got killed by this one. But
he was attacked by Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin should have ran home. He should have went home. He shouldn't circle back around and try to attack Zimmerman. He described Zimmerman on the phone with his girlfriend as being a creepy cracker. That tells you something about his personality.
Well, I don't know, but Zimmerman, once he got acquitted or dismissed in Florida, there was other charges brought against him after that, long after that. So he wasn't an angel. He was figuring he could get away with it, probably because he was related to
him. You don't know that. The neighborhood has had break-ins and burglaries. That's another thing. When you go out and commit a crime, not only are you committing a crime on that victim, but you're also putting other people into a mode of defense. So when you see someone unfamiliar in your community, we talk about that you are your brother's keeper.
You know, that's why I think it's so important that the media go into the prisons and meet with these individuals in prison. Because what we're talking about right now is a clear example of one-sided story. We have, and unfortunately, Terrell or whatever, he never got to tell his story because he apparently or obviously died. But this is why it's so important for the media to go into the prison and get these other sides, because we're always hearing the media talk about one-sided stories. And half the time, the stories are not accurate because they're telling it as soon as they hear it. And then they later find out that is not as accurate as they said the first time, so they correct themselves. But by this time, members of society already heard the first version, and they've already concluded.
Well, both sides of the story should have been heard at the trial. But you can look at what's going on with Donald Trump. You got the judge saying that there's certain things that he cannot bring forth as evidence that will prove that he's not guilty. Nobody's saying nothing about that.
Well, I will
they've
say
been
one thing.
Hyped up. They've it's been hyped up by the media that he's an evil man. That's all they talk about, the media. He's an evil man.
If all of this was to be going on with you or me or anyone else, an average citizen in the community, this wouldn't take 7 years, first of all. It's been 7 years back and forth, and this is like a soap opera, which people are getting tired of. But if anybody else had done what he's done. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care for Biden and I don't care for Trump because they're both inappropriate as president. But Trump, if that had been anyone else, it would have been years ago that the person would have been in prison by now. Even if it was serving 10 years or 15 years, they would have been in prison. And it's, to me, it's who you are, it's who you know, and it's always been like that in the United States of America. These people incarcerated, a lot of them, are still serving life sentences because they could not afford lawyers. And then we have these corrupt lawyers that will charge families all kinds of money that will clean them out of their assets only to meet with the person one time and then charge for all the emails going back and forth between them and their peers. This is what's happened in this country. And there's a lot of lawyers. And like you say, there's extremists on both sides because there's a lot of black leaders who cow down, who are no longer there, who are just simply changing their focus to where the money's going to come. We have people We have Black Lives Matter. We have NAACP. We have National Action Network. Al Sharpton sitting in CNN with his own show now, thinking he's some big shot. But to me, they're nothing. Because when people are dying and the only time they come out in the open is when there's a lawsuit by the family and they get out there in the media because they want their pictures taken with the family to make it look like they're doing something. If they're going to do something, do it before these people die, not after.
I agree with you that they take advantage and they make money for themselves. Al Sharpton, he makes money for himself. The NAACP, like they have a travel ban to Florida, what they're doing is trying to keep blacks from moving from cities like Chicago, Illinois, and New York, because then the Democratic base is deteriorated. They don't want school choice because the teachers' unions control a lot of the NAACP. People want to take their child out of the school and put them in another school that they think is best for their children and their education. That's their business. They should be able to do that.
It's sad.
You're about to run out of time, I would imagine. 17 minutes left, so we're going to let you have your show back. I really appreciate the dialogue and the better understanding of what the situation is. And like I said before, I think that the people that's in prison should be given the opportunity to rehabilitate themselves where they can come out and become productive citizens rather than bringing people into the country illegally and from all over the world. They are Americans.
I want to ask you something as well. Now, there's a lot of people incarcerated that have been targeted by prison officials, and they have been trying to go to get into programs, educational, higher educational. We have people in prison, many of them who were gainfully employed before going to prison, a lot of them in college before they went to prison. And yet when they talk of prisoners, they talk about them as though these people are all high school dropouts. Yet when they go in, they want to do higher educational programs or get in to participate in something. And prison officials deny them so that when they finally get an opportunity to go up for parole, they have nothing to show for what they have done since they've been in prison. What are your thoughts on how to handle something like that, how to resolve issues like this? Because the legislative members, they are called upon to help these individuals from time to time when their civil rights are being violated. The legislative members have caught the Department of Corrections, have caught them in lies, and yet they don't challenge them. And I believe it's because of the union, the prison unions that are so large. What are your thoughts on something like that?
Well, the people that would like to see that done needs to create a movement. Yes, it has to start. It has to be initiated with your legislative body, members of the legislative, your House members of the legislative body, your Senate members of the legislative body. Yes, I think that prisoners should have an opportunity to better themselves while they're sitting there serving out their sentence. It would be best for them to be able to do so.
I thank you for that. And I want to thank you for coming on. A lot of the things that you said really make sense. And I hope that you do decide at some point in time to run for some kind of political position, because it's people like yourself that they need in politics, and they need to boot some of these others out. I am waiting for the day when we see these Republicans and Democrats come together to really start looking at the issues that we are facing in this country. And there are many. But I don't think we're going to see that anymore. I think those days are gone.
Well, they're not going to volunteer to come together. The people have to make them. to do that. People should be known to them that the power rests with them. They have the power to change things, and they need to have been taught that from an early age so they can act it out once they become voting age adults. Anyway, I got to go. Thank you very much for the opportunity. You have a pleasant
Thank
day.
You. Thank you, Pionk. It was really interesting, and I enjoy having you on. Thanks so much.
Okay.
So, audience, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the things that he brought up are very, very important. And this is what we're missing in this country. In this country, we are missing actual interested members of society who are the government. Like they always say, we the people are the government. But we the people seem to be very rare when it comes to speaking out in public. But many are quick to speak out in their groups, their cliques, or whatever you might want to call it, to complain, to send emails back and forth, to do flyers, anything but bring out the truth and bring out the concerns and work together as we always want the politicians to do, work together in bipartisanship and try to get something resolved. Now, the month of June is the month that we decided that we were going to talk about making calls, writing letters and emails. And we have another caller calling in, and I want to give this person an opportunity to speak. State your name, please. 323.
I'm Joe, and you're Leona. So how are you
Hello,
doing?
Hello, Joe. Good. How are you, Joe?
I'm not doing too badly. How about yourself?
Doing as good as can be expected. So did you have an opportunity to hear any of that conversation that was going on between our previous caller?
No, I just got here. I saw your show, and I thought I'd call in. You only have a few minutes left, so I thought I'd call in to say hi. So I didn't hear anything.
Well, he was talking about some of the things that go on in the country and the politics and everything. And, you know, one of the things is people, the one thing they say is when somebody commits a crime, they should be in prison. I agree. But at the same time, we spoke about a lot of the issues going on, even with the country, the division. And this is something that needs to be discussed, too, because if we have such division in our politics, we're going to have divisions in the whole country anyway. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, look, we've always had a divided political system because we have two parties. And they brainwash the people into believing that if they're going back and forth doing their political theater, that somehow they're doing some kind of service for the country. I think, you know, to me, if even if you have two parties, if you have five parties, if everybody that's elected into office is an honest person, right, and a very honest person who has intelligence, they're all going to practically have the same kind of ideals and ideas on any particular topic. There should never be very marked division. Why should one particular party say, yes, we want taxes, and the other party says, no, we don't want taxes? Why can't there be not just an agreement in the middle, but why can't people take a look at the issue and come up with the same or similar conclusion by using logic? Logic isn't, you know, it isn't divided. Critical thinking has a format to it, has a protocol to it. And everybody has to use logic and critical thinking the same way. So if they do that, then why can't they come up with the same conclusions? So this nonsense about the Republicans versus the Democrats, that's bull. To me, if you're honest, if you have brains, you're going to come up with the same conclusion just about all the time. So this has always been political theater, and it's always divided the country because the American people, well, we've been dumbed down. We're stupid people.
I think we had in previous years and years ago, I think it was pretty good the way the politicians united when it came to the American people. The parties that we have today are nothing. It's like soap. I was just saying previously, it's like soap operas. We're going through this thing. It's been years, 7 years or more, and it's still the same. It's like a soap opera. But I believe that they really agree on some of the things that are brought out to their attention, but they're just too stubborn to come together and agree to it for the American people. They're like kids going back and forth. And we're living in a country that once this country is divided by our leadership, government leadership, it's going to be divided all around. A lot of frustration, a lot of anger, crime is on the rise, things are going to happen. It doesn't
make sense. Certainly a very, very benign towards the attitudes of the people in Congress. You just think that, well, they just can't really agree. But again, if you have an IQ of about 160 and the other people have an IQ of about 160 and you've all taken a look at the issues together and you're all supposed to have the motivation to look out for the American people, why should people disagree to such an extent? To me, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
It's corruption. It's always been corruption, plain and simple.
And I believe myself, going back to the prisons, I believe that they need to start looking at more releases. Because, again, that the warden, I don't know, you didn't get a chance to come on when Franz Dahl was on, but he, the warden for 27 years in Amsterdam, but he's going to be coming back on in July. He's going to be on every Wednesday, and he's going to be talking about a lot of the different issues that go on, that have gone on in the United States. He's still working with people, advocates in Texas. But one of the things is, I say it all the time, we have mass incarceration. And there's a lot of people wrongfully convicted. And there's a lot of first-time offenders and victims who became offenders that need to be looked at in these releases. We need to get rid of mass incarceration. It's not necessary.
Well, I don't know about that. I think if a person does an egregious crime, a very serious felony, they got to be locked up.
Right, and that's happening now. A lot of it's happening. But they can't keep doing people in prison rather than trying to treat them. You know, Department of Mental Health needs to work with, and I said this earlier, they need to work with the hospital, the doctors and the nurses. They need to work with the legislative members. They need to all come together and try to figure out how they can address these issues behind those prison walls. And that's not happening. These contracted facilities or providers are not working, and these people incarcerated are not being rehabilitated, and the crime is on the rise, so they keep putting people in prison, increasing this already mass incarceration. But to me, I just think that there was a nurse, I was listening to the news earlier, there was a nurse that was saying that a nurse was attacked by a patient. And she was saying that nurses are being attacked more than they are being attacked in the prison and in the street. But if that's the case, then it's even more important that the Department of Mental Health work with the department, I mean, with the hospital staff, because there was a time when they had mental institutions, which they somehow, for some unknown reason, they got rid of all of the mental institutions around the country, and they're using prisons as an alternative. So I don't know
how many people get arrested and thrown into prison every year nationwide?
I can believe thousands.
Because I'd like to know, because if you had to treat every single one of them in order to make sure that you bring down the recidivism rate, I don't know if there's enough mental health workers in the United States to take care of that.
Again, there's students out there that are going to college for medicine, for biology majors and medical physical therapists. But there was the gentleman that was on before you, we were talking about this. And one of the things is there's an issue with mental health. He was talking about they shouldn't try to deprive people of having weapons because people do need to protect themselves. But what I say they need to do is they need to make it mandatory that everyone have a mental health evaluation, psychiatric and psychological or psychological mental health evaluation when they go to apply for a gun permit. And that doesn't seem to me to be a difficult thing to do, and it would save a lot of people who are trying to get weapons. It would save a lot of people from getting hurt on the outside with some unstable person who's trying to get a gun permit. I don't know what the problem would be to make it mandatory for people to have a psychiatric and also a drug evaluation when applying for gun permits.
Well, I see the problem. I wouldn't want it. And the reason is because if you have the government in charge of that, the government, you're giving the government way too much power. Now, if you allow them to do these evaluations, then you're allowing them to be just like in China, to determine who can have a gun, who doesn't. And they can fix the tests, they can rig the tests so that nobody can get them. They can be bought out. Plus, of all the institutions in the country, the government is the least effective. They hire the dumbest people. They have the worst protocol. They don't have any accountability. And to have them in charge of whether or not somebody gets a gun, when clearly the Second Amendment says that, you know, they can't impinge upon the right to have arms. No, I see a lot of problems with that.
I think it's even more important because of that, that they should have psychiatric eval and psychological evaluation. I'm the type of person, as all the years of social work, I'm the type of person that I also look at body language. And when somebody's going for a gun permit and they're doing a psychiatric and a psychological evaluation, they also look at the body language. A lot of times people are hurting. There's a lot of people that are seriously depressed. There's a lot of people who have intentions of doing something wrong. And you can tell in the body language as well as the psychiatric eval, you know, if there are issues that needs to be further looked into. I just have a problem with people being thrown into prison every time for every reason. And this is going to get worse, and there's no alternative, no solutions, except continuously putting people inside, and it's going on every day.
I agree with you about the problem about putting people, you know, the third strike law, which I think was instituted by Bill Clinton, that can be used to actually. Now, there's an example of how if you're somebody who stole some bread or stole some candy or stole a bike, and that's your third offense, if you're in a state that's very, very stringent about it, you can go to jail for, 4 years for stealing a bike if that's your third offense. That's stupid. That's ridiculous.
The three strike law started out of California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an example of how the government wants to incarcerate people. If you have the government in charge of whether or not you can have a gun, you know, they have you in their database. They have your fingerprints. They have your blood. They have your mental evaluation. I don't trust the government to do anything right. So, plus, more deaths are caused by, I don't think by guns. I think they're caused by knives and hammers and other instruments than they are by guns. Plus, if a person really wants a gun, they're going to get a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, they can get their weapons easier on the streets, but it would eliminate a lot of unnecessary shootings and a lot of, incarcerations. And I still say they should reinstate the mental institutions in the communities around the country, and they should start doing some pilot projects, putting some of these people in a prison where they can try to work with them on a lower schedule and a lower level and see if there's some way they can help them, get them in a facility other than a prison where they're getting the treatment that they need. But, Joe, we're running out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on. And unfortunately, the young man that we were going to interview today, he was afraid he would have a problem coming on because of the lockdowns that they have periodically in the prison that he's in. But he was in for aiding and abetting, and he received that. He turned his life around in prison, and he's due to hopefully come out sometime soon. But we are going to be ending this episode. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. As always, I am honored to have you. You take care. And
thank you.
Okay. Thank you for listening, audience. We are now going to end.
Take care, Leona.
Thank you, Joe.